So this podcast is a little different for From the Top, a documentary of sorts, actually. We spent 3 days at the Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition checking out the incredible music the kids make there. I mean, all the kids we heard were impressive, and the whole competition process was fascinating to check out and record. I hope you like it.
From NPR,
it's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music
in the hands of America's kids.
And our three junior division finalists, again, in no particular order, and please stand up when I call your name. We have J8 Incendium Quartet from Los Angeles, California.
The screams you're hearing are for the finalists being announced here at the junior division of the 2015 Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition. All the excitement in the auditorium is shared by all of those performers of the chamber music groups, all sitting around waiting to find out who made it from the semifinals on to the finals. Hi, I'm Christopher O'Reilly, and welcome to a slightly different, slightly more documentary From the Top, recorded during a weekend of outstanding chamber music played by extraordinarily talented teenagers at the University of Notre Dame's DiBartolo Performing Arts Center in South Bend. Regular listeners know about the Fischhoff competition and how important it is to our young musicians because we often present ensembles who've attended the competition, including each year's gold medalist. This year, over 60 teenage chamber music groups applied to the competition, out of which 25 were invited to come to Notre Dame. A quarterfinal round narrowed the field to 12, and from those 12, the three final ensembles were chosen. We're picking up the story with the three finalists, but before we do, I want you to get a brief taste of the incredible music we heard throughout the semifinals. We heard the Isolde Quartet from Boston play the Vivace movement from Benjamin Britten's Second String Quartet. The Fortis Piano Quartet from Chicago performed the Lento from Joaquin Turina's A Minor Piano Quartet. And the Etoile String Quartet, also from Chicago, play from Janáček's Intimate Letters Quartet. Amazing stuff, but three finalists were indeed chosen, and we're going to spend this hour talking to each group, and we'll hear them play in the final round. One of the finalists was a string quartet that came all the way from the Barrat Due Music Institute in Oslo, Norway, the Allegrar Quartet. I sat down to talk to these kids after I'd heard them play an amazing piece by the Georgian composer Sulkan Tsintsatse in the semifinals, and before they were about to play the same piece in the finals. Now, my Norwegian is a little rusty, so I started out by asking them to introduce themselves.
Inga Våga Gaustad.
Oda Holt Kynter.
Mikael Andreas Krohle.
Brage Bottensheim.
From the very first moments of your performance in the semifinals, which we heard yesterday with great pleasure, it was not just a shock of hearing this intensely personal sound that you create, but also completely new and beautiful miniatures made by this Georgian composer. And it was just extraordinary. And I thought the discovery of that music must have been palpable for you. Were these pieces that you discovered on your own, or were they brought to you?
I was on holiday in Georgia, and then I found those pieces.
Yes. Have there been problems putting this together, or does it seem to come very unanimously?
I think we agree most of the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We discuss more about like musical stuff,
so
in
like
the music.
What comes up, do you think?
Like phrasing and... Yeah, we have a lot of discussions.
Yeah.
During, yeah.
Michael, are there disagreements in trying to decide, okay, well, we're going to die here, we're going to continue here, or maybe how does the discussion proceed?
Well, it often starts with maybe I have an idea and then we discuss it, maybe for a long time, or just I say something, they agree. If they don't agree, we can discuss for half an hour and...
We usually try different things
and
to see what
come
works.
To a conclusion in the end.
Inga, tell us how you came to this competition.
Our coach, Kari Ravnan, knew about the competition and she won the first competition in Bischoff.
My gosh. So that's a while ago, and so here you come full circle. And what is the experience like in Norway as far as competitions? Are there lots of competitions? Have you done a lot of them there? Is it not something that gets done?
I think it's very different.
Yes, it's smaller.
It's smaller, and I think the culture for competition is more, it's bigger here.
People are more used to playing competition here than in Norway.
Yeah. The Fischhof has a kind of a reputation for being almost more of a festival than a competition. You know, it's not quite so cutthroat. There are lots of interactions between the jury and, for instance, the semifinalists that don't make it into the last round. Is that different from what you expected?
It's kind of nicer than I thought. Mm-hmm. It's less, like, focus on who wins. And, I mean, I think Tom made a great speech about, like, why we do chamber music and why we're here. It's not all about winning.
No, it's not all about winning, but you'll be pulling for this group after you hear them play selections from Sulkan Sensatse's Miniatures for String Quartet. We'll hear movements titled Shepherd's Dance, Source, Sachi Dao, and Rustic Dance.
Yeah, it was really fun to play.
The Allegro Quartet from Oslo, Norway, played portions of Sulkan Sinsatze's Miniatures for String Quartet. The Allegro Quartet is made up of Inge Voge Gaustad, 16, and Oda Holt Günther, 15, violins, Mikael Andreas Grolid, 17-year-old violist, and Braga Botensheim, 16-year-old cellist. Their coach is Kari Ravnan.
Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
This week, it's a special From the Top. We're visiting the 2015 Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition at the University of Notre Dame, hearing the three finalists in the junior division. Before the performance we just heard, the members of the Allegro Quartet referred to Tom, that's Tom Rosenberg, the artistic director of the Fischhoff competition. I asked Tom if the judges were given a set of standards or if they rely on their own individual judgments.
We don't have a point system. We ask them to use their own personal instincts and judge what they think, because some of them, in this competition, it's a really mixed bag. Some of them will know every note, every metronome marking of a piece, and some of them will have never heard the piece ever. And so what the jury really becomes is a highly educated, opinionated audience, and the musicality of a group usually wins out because the technique is so high anyway. And so they each individually just give us their ranking of the groups, and we assign points based on where they put a group.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like I'm not going to get anything out of this question, but I mean, have you ever had strong disagreements? Have there ever been, you know, shouting matches and loyalties that have been tested?
We used to when we allowed a lot of discussion, but at this point now, there's very little discussion among the jurors. They're encouraged not to talk about the groups and influence each other. And what I learned over the years is that sometimes someone who has a really valid opinion does not want to contradict someone they respect, or they're just quiet, and someone will have an undue amount of influence over the other people. So they are not really supposed to talk to each other, and we talk about that, and they all say, yeah, let's just leave it to ourselves, and let's see what we come up with.
Right, and that usually works out.
It works great, yeah.
That's great. Now, is there interaction with the jury and the contestants after they've been judged? I mean, for instance,
yes.
When they get, let's say, you know, somebody gets knocked out in the semifinals, do they get to have notes from the judges?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we've always done, is tried to make it not just play and leave, you know. If you're in the junior division and you don't make it to the semifinals, you play in a master class for the jury, and sometimes it's an incredible experience for them. They've only had one coach in their whole life, and now they're getting to work with, you know, some amazing musician. They all get comments in the first two rounds, the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and then they also meet. They have the opportunity on Saturday night when the finalists are announced. Other than the finalists, each of the juror members are put at a table, and groups go from one to the next to get to meet them. If they heard them, they'll get personal comments verbally, or they'll just get to meet someone they've admired their whole life and or will admire their whole life once they know who they are.
Well, I know everybody's really excited to be here, none more so than us.
Well, we're really glad you're here.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Tom.
Next up, a piano trio from New England Conservatory's prep division called Trio Adonais. They are Sammy Andonian, 17-year-old violinist, Mari Nagahara, 16-year-old cellist, and John Gibson, 18-year-old pianist. We talked after I heard this terrific young trio play Soliloquy by Shulamit Ron in the semifinals. We heard you in yesterday's semifinal round, and we were extraordinarily pleased and arrested by the sound of the trio. But then with eyes wide open, we see that uniquely in the roster of semifinalists, you were doing your whole program from memory. So I first of all have to ask, I mean, this was not, you know, a requirement of the competition. So whose idea was it to do your whole program from memory, and how much of your working relationship has been based on this mandate? John, how about you?
a lot of it was the page turn. So eventually I just put the score down and I said, all right, let's try it.
Yeah.
And I found out that I had it memorized, and then they tried it and they found out they had it memorized. So it wasn't something like, okay, we're going to try to memorize this. Mm-hmm. It just sort of came naturally, which I think was good, because it was a little bit, it was more of an organic process than something that was forced. And what we found when we were deciding whether we wanted to actually compete from memory or with the music was that when we played from memory, we were communicating with each other so much better, and the level of music making just went up. Mm-hmm.
But how about memorizing this Shulamit Ron piece? You know, that couldn't have been an easy decision, right?
I think it came naturally. Sammy's job, I think, was the hardest, because his part is the hardest out of everyone's. But again, it wasn't forced. We had to work a little harder, I think, and really put our minds to it and make it a goal.
Sammy, do you think Mari's right? I mean, is Shulamit Ron, does she have something against you? Or, you know,
I don't know. We, in our coachings and in our rehearsals, we kind of talked about it. Learning the piece was certainly difficult, but for us, I think, and for a lot of people, actually, just when you work on a piece so much and you are practicing it regularly and rehearsing it regularly, it kind of just seeps into your memory almost and kind of just comes naturally. Although in a modern piece, rests or counting can be a little bit more difficult. So those kind of things you want to have to remember. But the actual notes playing, if you practice it enough, it's almost like you didn't even have to try to memorize it.
And how about it? Do you feel that having the piano trio as a sort of a nice majority-free situation is the perfect combination musically?
I do think that having us all playing three different instruments probably does help a little bit with the discussion and interpretation and keeping it low-key, no arguments. I think we're all pretty open to other people's ideas. So, I mean, we're all really close friends. We've never had any issues or anything like that.
About playing our own instruments, one funny thing about our trio that I think is a little unique is that we all actually play two of the three instruments in the trio, or have played them. Like, Sammy plays violin and cello. I play piano, and I still play violin, but it's not as central of a focus. And then Mari now plays cello, used to play violin.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was totally coincidental. We hadn't even realized that, actually. I mean, of course, I knew Mari used to play violin for a while, and I played, and yeah, I play violin and cello in orchestra, so we've been mm-hmm. stand partners in orchestra, and at the same time, we played chamber group together. But I didn't really realize until after the fact, like in December, we joined, and we came together in September. By December, I was like, oh, we all like play the same instruments.
Sammy is a fantastic cellist, and I think Mari and I are terrible violinists.
And so here we are at the competition. We're coming into the final round. How has your experience in the quarterfinals and then yesterday in the semis, how is that shaping how you're going to approach the finals?
Well, one thing that I was thinking about is that often as a high schooler, when you're in a chamber group, you usually see your group once, twice a week for a couple of hours in the coaching, in the rehearsal. Nothing. I know college groups, you probably spend a lot more time together, but we just see each other during the year, Friday for a couple of hours and Saturday for the coaching. So I think for us to be spending all day together, traveling, eating, talking, resting, doing anything, it's really brought us really close together. And I think, especially for our group, because we all do get along, the closer and closer we're getting, the more intimate the chamber music making has become. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're really trying to come here with a positive attitude and really just come here to play our best, because in the end, that's really all you can do. Mm-hmm. And so I think having that energy and really just giving the music what it deserves, bringing the music to life, all that kind of stuff, and being on this beautiful stage in the amazing hall and having this audience and this like really nice support system being recognized, it was just like a really special moment. And I think we all really wanted to take advantage of it.
And take advantage of it they did. From the final round of the junior division of the 2015 Fischoff competition, this is Trio Adonais with their totally committed performance of an excerpt from Shulamit Ron's Soliloquy.
Thank you. think it went pretty well. It was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Right on stage, everybody watching us in the finals. Yeah. Still feeling the
I'm a little out of breath right now.
It's a bit surreal.
Shulamit Ron's soliloquy performed by the teenage members of Trio Adonais. Sammy Andonian, 17-year-old violinist, Mari Nagahara, our cellist, is 16, and John Gibson, 18-year-old pianist. These guys are coached by Natasha Brofsky.
For behind-the-scenes stories, features on From the Top alumni, and videos of our wonderful young performers making music and getting out into the community beyond the concert hall, visit fromthetop.org/blog.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. jkcf.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're broadcasting from the University of Notre Dame's DeBartolo Performing Arts Center in South Bend, Indiana, where we're hearing the final round of the junior division of the 2015 Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition. Coming up, the medalists are announced and will feature an encore performance by the gold medal winner. Today's show is made possible with support from the University of Notre Dame. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
I was thrilled to see that one of the jurors at the 2015 Fischhoffs was my own ultimate chamber music mentor and the man who, as the chairman of the faculty at Tanglewood, accepted me as an 18-year-old pianist and helped launch my career, Gilbert Kalish. Gil was on the jury of the Fischhoffs once before, quite a few years ago, so at a break in the competition, I asked him if the competition has changed.
Has it changed? Well, it's so much at such a higher level than it was at the time. It's so much more sophisticated. The groups are so excellent, and there's so many of them. It's astonishing, as you know, what young people are doing today, and it's very thrilling. And, of course, it's difficult to eliminate excellent people. That's one of the aspects of being on a jury that's not so pleasant. But it's also wonderful to help groups that are very deserving.
It's true that the level of playing at the Fischhoff Chamber Music Competition is incredibly high, as you're about to hear in a performance of the opening movement of the Brahms Second String Quartet by the teenage members of the Incendium Quartet from the Colburn School in Los Angeles and the Pasadena Conservatory of Music. The quartet is Geneva Lewis, 16, and Mei Zhen, 17-year-old violinists. Emma Wernig, 16-year-old violist, and Atticus Mellor Goldman is our 17-year-old cellist. Again, I interviewed the quartet just before their performance in the finals, having heard them play the day before in the semifinals. So the Brahms that we heard in the semifinals yesterday, what immediately came across was that you guys were sort of the Lexus of all the string quartets that we heard. There was this sleek quality, this sophisticated quality, but that at every speed there was never an ounce of extra effort. It was just all in such a beautifully controlled and calibrated sense of, you know, total mastery and a really burnished sound. So the first question I have to ask is where does that come from? I mean, has this been an idea of yours for a while, a kind of sound that you wanted to get? Geneva, what's your thought on this?
We've been mostly working on getting for Brahms a really rich sound to bring out all the inner voices, because in Brahms there's so much inner workings going on, and just working on bringing that out has been a challenge, but I think that's what we've been focused on mostly.
Mm-hmm. Emma?
Generally with this piece, we're just trying to tell a story, and I think that's mainly what helped us. Not necessarily focusing on all the technical aspects, but once we forgot about that, I think that's when we really had our most success.
Working with the Brahms score, have you had to make adjustments? I know that sometimes he can be, for instance, in some of the odd instrumentally orchestrated pieces like the horn trio, you have the general sense of dynamics, but you have to alter them, you know, extraordinarily because you're dealing with the horn and you're dealing with the piano overbearing everything. Has that been a problem at all with this quartet, Atticus?
Usually in Brahms especially, you want to make the thing softer than normal for certain passages, because since his texture is so rich, like the forte is, they're usually written in not that good of a register. So, because Brahms, he didn't really, that wasn't his main focus, was writing in the easiest register for instruments to speak out in.
Right.
So it's a combination of like, okay, how well does this instrument speak here? Is it a dual line? Like, what's happening in this specific moment that we can, like, learn to balance the other dynamics with.
Emma, how about the sound of the quartet in terms of the working relationship, in terms of the coaching, the rehearsals? Have there been any, you know, major disagreements or major compromises as far as making each other's sound into the quartet sound?
Honestly, no. we get along very well. There hasn't been a single fight. In a single quartet rehearsal, we've agreed on pretty much everything. There have been minor disagreements about intonation or maybe how to play something specifically. But in general, we get along very well, and the sound came together quite naturally, I think.
Yeah.
I disagree. We are not fighting.
Yeah?
It's not like a fight, but like we're arguing a lot about like arguing about intonation, rhythm, and then like the idea about the music.
Mm-hmm. What are the quirks of the group? You know, we're not going to hear anything about that in the performance, okay? But I think it would be instructive, you know, on From the Top, where we do a lot of getting to know the performers. So I think it would be interesting to know. Atticus, come on, speak up.
It sort of started happening by the second rehearsal that we ever had. We were all... I wasn't meeting Emma for the first time. We were in a quartet before, but we weren't that close. It was just sort of like a we stayed together kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then when we met them, Geneva and May, it was Emma and Geneva sort of became like...
Besties.
Yeah, very close to the point that they were... rolling on the floor by the second rehearsal. They, for a long, long time, like, we could not rehearse because they would just laugh so much. Like, it was a very serious problem. They just spent all of rehearsal laughing, and there was nothing we could do. And then I'd have to join in because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it got to a point where... where we couldn't actually start the piece for about 45 minutes because we couldn't start it because we'd just keep laughing and just break down crying for no reason at all.
It is infectious. We hear a lot, and it's been quite evident to us that there's more to the Fischhoff than the competition itself. There are the master classes that go on. There's the ability of the eliminated groups to speak with the juries after the jurors after the competition is over, and there's a great deal of insight to be gained there. First off, did you guys spend a lot of time listening to other groups? Did you stay out of that, or how did you function there, Emma?
Yeah, we listened to a lot of quarterfinal groups, and we're just amazed at the level and just the talent. Mm-hmm. We were incredibly nervous that we wouldn't make semifinals because we were pretty unhappy with our quarterfinal performance.
What made you unhappy about
that performance? We just didn't feel that it was truly the best we could play. And yeah, so we were incredibly nervous before the semifinal announcement. They announced us last as well.
Ah, so very tough.
We were confident we wouldn't make it.
I know. Oh, gosh. Atticus, how about you? Do you feel like a different group in each of those rounds? And how will that affect you going into the finals?
We're always going to try as hard as we can, and we're going to have fun, hopefully, in the finals.
Well, I can't say whether the Incendium Quartet had fun in the finals, but I can say they played beautifully. Here's their performance of the Allegro Non Troppo from the String Quartet No. 2 in A minor by Johannes Brahms.
Thank you. How'd you do?
Pretty well, I think. We had fun up there.
I like our Brahms today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was cool. I wasn't nervous at all. I felt like it was just us there.
That our Brahms was, we were connected with each other at least. I don't know how it came across, but we'll find out.
The first movement of the Brahms Second String Quartet played by the Incendium Quartet from Los Angeles. Geneva Lewis, 16, and Mei Zhen, 17-year-old violinists, Emma Warnig, 16-year-old violist, and Atticus Mellor Goldman, 17-year-old cellist. Their coaches are Andrew Cook and Amy Creston.
We've got wonderful photos of all the groups featured on today's show at our website. And while you're there, check out our podcast featuring bonus content not heard in the radio broadcast. That's fromthetop.org.
Well, we've heard the three finalists in the junior division of the 2015 Fischhoff Chamber Music Competition. Now it's time to learn which teenage ensemble won which medal. But before we do that, let's hear the voices of some of the other fine young musicians who didn't make it into the finals, but who had a great learning experience here at the Fischhoff.
Well, this is my first time in the competition, and even though we didn't get to the semifinals, it sort of just reminded me how much I love chamber music. You just, like, you look at your chambermates and you realize that it's just such a beautiful experience.
I'm thrilled that we get the chance to speak to the judges and get their feedback. I think that's, in a way, even more valuable than perhaps advancing.
It's just such a wonderful experience to be in this atmosphere of the best in the world. I just feel we're so lucky to be here.
I don't come here for the prize. I come here for this experience, especially I can talk to these juries. I can play on that beautiful stage.
And the three finalists were just, like, the most amazing thing. As I was listening to their performance, I was like, I want to be like them, honestly. And now I'm just going to practice like crazy.
The three finalists were amazing, but as in all competitions, somebody has to come in first. The envelope, please. The bronze medal goes to the string quartet from Norway, the Allegrar Quartet. The silver medal goes to our piano trio from Boston, Trio Adonais. And the gold medal goes to the quartet you just heard from Los Angeles, the Incendium Quartet. Much hullabaloo, cheers, and congratulations all around. And after the medals are presented, the stage is cleared for a winner's concert, where the gold medalists from both the junior and senior divisions perform once again. Let's go out with one of the pieces the Incendium Quartet played at the winner's concert, the opening movement of the String Quartet No. 2 in F by Prokofiev. Thanks for joining me, Christopher O'Reilly, for this special broadcast from the 2015 Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition. Be around next week, won't you, when we'll once again take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical assistance this week from John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. We want to thank artistic director Tom Rosenberg and executive director Anne Devine and the entire staff of the Fish Off competition for letting us listen in on the 2015 proceedings. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. And from Emily and Antoine Van Ochtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.
And now for a little bonus content, my break piece from the show. Enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you.